Okay, turn your Bible with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Many Christians struggle and wrestle with this 10-letter word. The 10-letter word called evangelism. Maybe because out of fear or intimidation or indifference or simply ignorance. Many followers of Jesus Christ decide that, well, I'll be a silent witness. And some people, some Christian believers think that, well, I have to be really bold. And they end up become offending the listeners with the in-your-face tactic. Occasionally, even rude behavior. Others try to squeeze the life out of this beautiful relationship between man and God. And then make it into nothing more than intellectual level. But to some people, evangelism is like a breathing air. They do it so effortlessly, they do it so naturally. Before you know, the person who is listening and bowing his head or her head and doing the sinner's prayer. And you're wondering, how can they do that? Philip is that kind of person. Philip illustrates the biblical method of evangelism. He was quite simply a Christian who was on fire for the Lord. And he has been sermoned, he has been called to Samaria. And he obediently went to Samaria and preached the gospel. And Samaria has been a place where the racial prejudice as well as religious mindset or the reason, they was shunned by the Jewish people. But he, a Jew, Philip, went to Samaria and evangelized to the people, and they received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Jesus performed the miracle there to confirm the Philip's position amongst them. Philip's approach in evangelism was neither vague nor rude or mute. We are going to learn directly from Philip about the evangelism. I find the 6 points. I want you to pay attention to those things. Before we go to the chapter 8, verse 26, let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to your presence and asking you to give us instruction about the evangelism, to spread your good news, good, great tidings to the unbelievers. Once we are unbelievers, once we are sinners, enemy of God. But by your grace, we became your children. We want other people to become children of God. Teach us how. Teach us wisdom. Teach us courage. And most of all, let us have that fire in our heart for Jesus Christ. And Father, we are asking your anointing upon our heart, especially the one who speaks, and forgive his sins, for his sins are many. And we pray for President Obama, that he may come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And we pray for our military personnel, especially think of the Antonio Correll, grandson of one of our congregations who just joined the U.S. Army. Father, we ask you to watch over this young man and keep him safe. And we also pray for the law enforcement personnel and firefighters, especially the ones who attend our church services. We ask you to protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 26 of chapter 8. In the book of Acts. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he, get this guys, arose and went. Let's make a word picture here for the sake of illustration. We have somewhere around over 100 some people. in both services. Let's say the Lord somehow made 100-fold out of the congregation in short time. So over 10,000 people, church ministry is flourishing, and all the ministries are fruitful, and people are getting saved left and right in every services. And it's going very well. And out of nowhere, one day the Lord spoke to my heart, and say, JK, arise and go and start a Bible study. This is, don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. I just came back, remember? Arise and go and start a small Bible study in a godless place. The address is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. If I said it to the board members, if I said to you guys, and the first inclination will be, no, this couldn't be from God. This could be from the Satan, who is disguising himself as an angel of light, trying to stop the move of God. Wouldn't that be a logical thing? But for Philip, no. He knew the word of God. He heard the sound, a voice of God. He arose and went. He not only the faithful and effective preacher, but also obedient servant of God, just like his master Jesus Christ. He didn't have a problem leaving the crowd behind and going to them, simply following God's direction and going to the next assignment. First point I want you to pay attention in evangelism. Number one, Philip was sensitive to God's leading. Philip was sensitive to God's leading. He was in the middle of the exciting crusade in Samaria, witnessing all sorts of the bright new beginning of the people and hundreds of people's lives being changed, and the excitement could only be generated by God himself. No human could do this. But God called him out in the middle of the desert wasteland. And Philip had a sensitivity to be led by the Holy Spirit. Effective witness don't just suddenly arrive at the scene. They are led there as they met regularly with God and seek God's guidance and counsel from the Bible. The key point is regularly. You cannot open your Bible once in a blue moon and expect to hear from God. When you do that, you don't get to know. You don't know how to distinguish the voice of God. But if you seek God's word regularly, you will be able to recognize his voice. And Philip possessed the sensitivity through the biblical discipline, and the Spirit of God moved him when the time was right. Second point, Philip was available. Philip was available. I want you to put the map, please. This is the Samaria area, this vicinity. From here, I'm sure you guys heard the word Gaza with all the conflict between the Muslim and the Israel. This is the Gaza area. There is the Gaza city. From here to here is about 60 miles. If you walk real hard all day long, about 12 hours, you'll be able to make about 30 miles. That's really walking hard. That means he can travel from the Samaria to the Gaza in about 2 days or 3 days. And you're thinking, 60 miles is nothing. Just hop in the car and drive. Guess what? They did not have a privilege of hopping the car and go. Either they walk or get on the horse or get on the chariot. Probably he was on his feet, on foot, and traveled by foot. Philip left immediately. Availability is sensitivity's twin. You cannot have one without the other. So where was he going? Philip did not know, but God did. We don't see one single question to God or objection to God. A great and godly attitude we must learn from him. If God tells us to do something like this, rather crazy, we would say, Lord, we have a suggestion. Guess what? God doesn't take a suggestion, just in case you haven't noticed. I know we try very hard. When he says no, I say, no, you need to listen to God because you don't know everything, God. Here's a really good idea. And God says, talk to the hand, face is not listening. We come up with a brilliant idea, earthly brilliant idea, over God's. God doesn't need our suggestion. When he says something, guess what we need to do? Just do it. That was a Nike commercial, just in case you haven't noticed. Verse 27. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, a great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopian, who had the charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning, and sitting on his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Verse 32, the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. Who will declare his generations? For his life is taken from the earth. This Ethiopia. When you think about the African map, it kind of look like a profile of the skull. Remember that? Shape of like this. I should have put the map on there. But where the nose is, there's where the current Ethiopia is located. But the ancient Ethiopia was right below the Egypt. When I say Ethiopia, and some of you may connect that with the Queen Sheba, Queen of Sheba, and who came to the Solomon's kingdom and saw the glory of Solomon's kingdom. And she even professed to be the receiving God of Israel. It's possible that Jewish faith were passed through the generations to a man like the Secretary of the Treasury Department in Ethiopia. Since he was a eunuch, he could not become a full Jewish proselyte according to Mosaic law. You will find in Deuteronomy chapter 31. But he was permitted to become a God-fearer or the proselyte of the gate. And he was concerned enough about his spiritual life to travel 800 miles one way. 800 miles one way to go to Jerusalem to worship the God of Israel. Yet, as he was returning, his heart was still empty. His heart was still lonely. He was not satisfied. This Ethiopian represents many people today who are religious and read scripture daily and seek the truth, even pray daily. They think that they are religious. They think that they are close to God, but yet they do not have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They are sincere, but they are sincerely lost. Whom can you think about that? Like Mormons? They are sincere in their faith. And the Jehovah's Witness? They are sincere in their faith. Any religious people? They are sincere in what they believe to be true, but they do not know the one true God. This Ethiopian represents that group of people. I learned this from the Billy Graham Crusade, but they are so good. But then again, they pull it out from the Bibles, so that's why they are so good. Here's the 3 points about people. The Bible says that there is an essential gnawing emptiness and loneliness in every life without Jesus Christ. Would you agree? Think about it. Before you came to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, were you lonely? Were you empty in your life? Yes, you would remember that. All humanity keeps crying for something or someone to fulfill it. Pascal said, French theologian says, there's a shape of Jesus vacuum in our heart. And they do not know what it is. They don't know how to fulfill it. So they use a drug, they use a sex, they use alcohol, they use just about anything to fulfill that vacuum. Keep your finger in the book of Acts. Go to turn to right in Romans chapter 8, please. Verse 20, please. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. People have that emptiness, people have that loneliness, and they don't know how to fulfill it without Jesus Christ. Second point is, Bible tells us that the people have a sense of guilt that cannot be erased with anything that world offers except the forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Listen, we are sinners by choice, by birth, by nature, and by choice. Let me say one more time. We are sinners by birth, by nature, and by birth. In other words, we are doomed from the beginning. The reason people feel guilty is because God gave us that awful thing, a conscience. When we sin against God, when we say the wrong thing, when we do the wrong things, and that conscience afflicts us. However, conscience cannot be depended on. It cannot be depended on all the time. Because conscience can be seared. As we sin more, we start to ignore the conscience. Since we are in Romans, go to Romans chapter 2, verse 15, please. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts, and their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves and their thoughts, accusing and also excusing them. Get that? Third point is, the Bible says that people have a universal fear of death without Christ. Bible says that people have a universal fear of death without Christ. Death frightens us because it is a fear of the unknown. There was a friend of mine. He just declared that he doesn't have a fear of death. When he said that, he was right in front of my truck. My truck was running at that time. So I had this devilish thought. Since my truck was running, it was in the park. I revved up my truck accelerator pedal. So he heard the sound. It's a V8. He jumped out of his skin. I told him, oh, after all, you have a fear of death. I made a point. All of us have a fear of death before Christ. Some Christians, when they realize there's something more to look for after death, they have a less fear of death. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, please. And release those who, through fear of death, were all the lifetime subject to bondage. Christians, born-again Christians, don't have to have that fear of death. You know why? Because Jesus Christ abolished that death and set us free from death. Can you imagine this meeting in the barren desert, in the middle of the barren desert, Philip and Ethiopian eunuch. However, I don't think that the Ethiopian eunuch was traveling all by himself. I'm sure he was traveling with a great entourage. And I'm sure he had a servant who taking care of his knees, hands, and feet. And I'm sure that he also had the secret service, the bodyguards all around him. You know, those guys with the sunglasses and earpiece and microphone, they're talking to on their sleeves, surround him. And then there is lone person standing in the middle of the desert. Philip was a proactive. Third point in verse 29. At the Spirit's leading, he took the initiative and ran up to this man's chariot, not knowing what he would find. But when he approached, he's finding this man was reading something. And wouldn't you find out that it was a scripture, Old Testament scripture. Don't tell me God does not know what he's doing. God knows exactly what he's doing and when the time is right. He was reading Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 passage is the prophecy of the God's suffering son. And it describes the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth, his ministry, his life, and then also substitutionary death and the victorious resurrection. The Ethiopian was focused on particular two verses, Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8, which deals with the Lord Jesus Christ becoming the willing sacrifice for sinners, especially even to the point of losing his human right and death, life. Jesus Christ is a fulfillment of the Old Testament type and prophecies. Fourth point of the evangelism is that Philip was a tactful in verse 30. Philip was tactful. When Philip greeted the Ethiopian official, he didn't hit him with the 17 theological positions on this particular text or the 12 different hermeneutical systems to approach this text. He simply asked him. He undoubtedly could have run the intellectual and biblical circles around this Ethiopian eunuch at that time. But he simply asked the initial question graciously and gently. Do you understand what you are reading? And then Philip gave him a chance to answer back. How many of you guys watch the Fox News? Many of you. I do too. I prefer to watch the Fox News over ABC, NBC, CBS, those lamestream media. Because lamestream media is very biased for current administration and their liberal agenda. I stopped watching some of the talk shows, like O'Reilly or when the Laura Ingraham filled in for the Hannity or other people. Because those two, especially Bill O'Reilly and Laura Ingraham, asked other people, guests, questions. And when the guests start to speak, and quickly they overtake with the talk over talk. Do you know that's just plain rude thing? And I was thinking, O'Reilly, haven't you learned from your mama that it's not polite to talk over another person? They do that. So I stopped watching them. Philip did not do that. He waited for the Ethiopian eunuch to answer. Let's read that. Verse 34. So eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture and preached Jesus to him. Let me read that portion again. Preach who? I can hear you. Preach Jesus to him. Very important. Fifth point. Philip was thorough and exact in his message about Jesus. Philip told this politician about Jesus, plain and simple. He didn't talk about his ministry in Samaria. He didn't talk about Ethiopian financial situation. He didn't talk about football, latest football game score. He didn't talk about the NASCAR qualification course. He only talked about one thing, Jesus. That would be the proper approach in evangelism. When you're witnessing to somebody, you need to talk about Jesus Christ and what He has done in your life, not how bad you are. Do not glorify how bad you are before Jesus Christ changed your life. Talk about how He changed your life. We often shrink back from the speaking boldly about Jesus, and the world let us know we should not talk about such a thing. But the world does not hesitate to push its own carnal and ungodly messages to us. We should be just as bold to the world about Jesus as the world is bold to us about accommodating their sins and their ways. Amen? Go down to verse 36, please. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, when they came out of the water, Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. I want you to underline, cut away, those two letters, cut away. And then, it's not in your sermon note, I want you to write this Greek word, harpazo, H-A-R-P-A-Z-O, H-A-R-P-A-Z-O. Cut away is harpazo in Greek. And so that eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing, but Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And you may say, what's this harpazo? Some of you may remember the same Greek word mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4:17, rapture sin. Dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are in Christ will cut of the Lord in the cloud. That's harpazo, cut up, cut away. The same word they mentioned here. And you may say, are you telling me here is a Philip standing in front of eunuch, dripping wet, just out of the water, and next moment he's gone? Yes. And you say, hey, this is a fairy tale. It's not real. Really? When you go to the Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, according to my Bible, according to the Bible on your lap, it says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Am I right or not? Am I right or not? You all agree. If you can believe that God created heaven and earth from nothing, nada, why is it difficult for you to believe God took one person from one location to another location? Some people believe that, beam me up, Scotty. People, remember this, God can do whatever He chooses to do. If He chooses to move you from one location to another location, it can be done. And He can. Since, go back to verse 37. Philip asked, if you believe it with all your heart, you may be baptized, right? Am I correct? And this eunuch said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is the reason why we do not do the infant baptism. Infant baptism is unbiblical, whether you like it or not. Some people say, well, I've been baptized when I was an infant. That doesn't mean anything. You got wet on your forehead. You didn't make that commitment. Baptism is outward expression of inward commitment of, with Jesus Christ. Am I making sense? How did the Ethiopian eunuch know that the believers must be baptized? And well, not must be, supposed to be baptized. Maybe Philip talked about it. Or maybe he saw all this baptism when he was visiting Jerusalem. Also, remember, Jewish proselytes are supposed to be baptized. So he knew that, he had that knowledge. Sixth point of the evangelism by Philip is that Philip was a decisive. Eunuch saw the water and he thought, well, I want the whole enchilada. I want to be baptized as outward expression. So he asked, why shouldn't I be baptized? Philip saw the sincerity of man's commitment and let the Ethiopian order the chariot to come to a stop and baptize him on the spot. See, here's a true story of a man who was empty, even though he had earthly fame, earthly influence, earthly power, earthly wealth, everything that world won. But he was empty. He was lonely in his heart. And then, here's another man. Here's another man who already have his heart was satisfied. Even though he did not have earthly fame, wealth, influence, and power. He had none of those, but he was satisfied because he had Jesus Christ in his heart. So when these two people got together, it became the happiest day for this formerly empty man. And he went on rejoicing. I don't know why God used people. His primary communication way is using people. Verbal communication. You know, if I were him, I would just say, oh, you born again Christian, forget it. You all go to heaven. Come on up. I will create a regiment of the angels who don't make a mistake like a human. And I will send them out with the wings on all and I'll proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will they make a perfect message? Yeah, they would. But they would not be able to reach people like you and me. You know why? Because people can communicate with the people. If you are alcoholic, and this former alcoholic whose life's been turned upside down, right side up by Jesus Christ, that person will be able to understand what it takes. Even though we are flawed horribly, God used you, God used me to communicate His grace and mercy. Have you ever led anyone to Christ? I'm sure most of you share your faith in one form or another. But have you ever said to someone, would you like to give your life to Jesus Christ right now? Have you ever had that opportunity? I hope you do. I hope you have. And you may say, well, again, with the intimidation, or out of fear, you may say no, then it's a good time to start. You've been equipped just now. Sometimes you may think you are not getting through the people, but God is speaking. God is speaking to their heart. Remember, His word will not return in void. They may just surprise you and want to believe who Jesus Christ is. And they too will go on their way rejoicing. I have three applications for you guys. Number one, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and make yourself available to Him. Again, there's those two words, sensitivity and availability. They are twins. You cannot have one without the other. Number two, talk about Jesus. When you evangelize, talk about Jesus, what He has done in your life. Don't talk about how bad you were. We know that you are bad anyway. Third application, be sincere and be tactful. Polite, be nice. Right?